Awesome. We good? Good, good, good. I never really know what to do when a slow clap happens, so I'm going to appreciate it, but also ignore it. I don't really know. Good deal, good deal. Well, hey, welcome again to Connection. We're really excited about just all the everything else that's going on. Like, we're, I don't even know if we're halfway. I don't know. But basically, my name's Andy. My wife and I are the pastors here with Chi Alpha in Dayton, so Wright State, Sinclair, and UD. If you've not met me, I'd love to meet you. I can't promise I'll remember your name the next time, but I'll try really hard, and I'll try to make one of those, like, mnemonic devices, you know, like Aramo, you got more hair on your head than somebody else, so maybe you'll just Aramo, right? You fro. So, yeah. It'll be better than that, hopefully. So, anyway, hey, so every week we talk about Jesus. Every week we talk about God, and tonight's no different, so we're going to dig into Scripture. So please, if you guys have your Bibles, please get those out now. If you have your digital copy, that's cool too. We're going to look at a lot of Scriptures, okay? And so if you don't have your Bible, that's totally okay, especially if it's your first time. Just share with the person next to you, or we have some extra Bibles in the back if anybody is interested. We don't want anybody to not have one, so sound good? Cool. So, let me jump in here. So, nope, you're going to the Bible. You're going to a lot of places in the Bible. Some people get so antsy about that. It's like, if I say 1 John, they're like, what chapter, what verse? It's okay, we're going to get there, I promise. Don't worry about it. Anxiety. So, okay, sorry, it's probably not anxiety. So, our Chi Alpha missions motto, don't do the slide yet. Perfect. What's our Chi Alpha, new people, what's our Chi Alpha missions motto? What? Okay, not a new person. Disqualified. You're definitely not a new person. Disqualified. Has a hand. It starts with every student. Gives. Goes. Anybody other than Dimitri? Prays. And last one? Welcomes. Hey, way to go. Good job. So, every student gives, or you can say it however you really want, but go, give, pray, welcome. And that's not like a cute montage of like, okay, yeah, that's cool and it rhymes and everything. But really, our heart for you guys, not just like me, but like as a movement, it's that every student would go on mission. It's that every student would give to God's work, God's mission. It's that every student would pray, invest, intercede for God's work, and that also every student would welcome. And they actually just added the welcome thing recently, and I kind of like, I love that portion, that, I don't want to say favorite portion, but I we're going to talk about that tonight. I'm excited about that. So last week we talked about give, and this week we're going to talk about welcome. And so, but before I get into that, I'm ringing a little bit. I don't know if that's me or not. So before we get into that, so how many of you guys think you're like an expert on Chi Alpha? Okay, a couple people. That's okay. So, we were talking just as last Monday in a staff meeting. We're like, hey, there's so much good stuff that like Chi Alpha we do as a body and that's available to you guys as students. Like, we just don't have enough announcements to like get it all out. And so we don't know if this is gonna work. I don't know if this is gonna work at all. But we're gonna try to throw some like did you know stuff at you guys. So maybe on social media or just here, like did you know this is available or did you know we do this? So you don't have to wait around for the announcement, the official announcement, but just little kind of little grenades just to toss you guys. So that, can we do a few of those?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So real quick, did you guys know that we have a ton of resources on the website? Everybody say resources. So I know that sounds like homework, but it's really not. So like basically there's resources on how to discover God better, how to study the Bible better, how to build a better community, what's our heart for missions, like all these different things. There's tons of resources on the website. The website is DaytonXA.org. If you just click on the resource tab, there's tons. There's Bible studies. There's like quick topics. There's basic stuff. And so if you're interested at all, like please, I don't even say if you're interested, just go there some point and just see what you can find. And I bet you that God will, there's something on there that's like, oh, that sounds interesting. I want to grow closer to Jesus in that aspect. So that's always available. We're always adding new things. They just added a World Mission Summit Bible studies too, so you guys might do that with your circuit or not. So that's one thing. Another thing is, did you guys know that we do mission trips? So we do mission trips in the summer, which is pretty common, but we also do spring break mission trips. And so we're kind of in the works of planning those, so we'll let you guys know as soon as we can. So when you're thinking about your spring break, I encourage you guys to think about how could I invest that into the kingdom of God and go somewhere, or maybe even go locally on a mission trip. And so we've went to New Jersey and different places like all over the world. We went to Sweden, New Jersey, different places, and so there's just a lot of opportunity. So just wanted to seed that early, but we also do stuff over the summer as well. So the last thing is, everybody say resources again.
Resources.
And I don't have the book on me, but we have a Chi Alpha library. Do you guys know we had a Chi Alpha library? No, yeah. It's huge. It's like busting at the seams, and like we can't find room for it, so we got to get rid of probably some books and things like that. But there's tons of books for you guys. I know you guys might be thinking like, oh, I got plenty of books to read. Or like if you're a reader, you know, this is like perfect for you. You can just add stuff. So you can like read a book a day. And then it's like, oh, I had a Thursday free. I just read 5 books. Okay, and that's because I'm a reader. I'm not, but you may be. But basically, we would love to resource you guys with awesome Jesus-centered books and materials and DVD and movies and all that stuff just to better help you guys get closer to Jesus. And so there's lots of stuff. The library is too big just to kind of pull random books. You could do that, but if you just connect with a staff member, especially Heather and I, we've been here a while, we know most of the books, we've read most of those books in the shelves, and so we'd love to recommend that stuff. I know that's already been happening, and so just to kind of throw that out there of did you know. So just ways that you guys can grow with Jesus outside of a Wednesday night, outside of your circuit Bible study, kind of the in-between and things like that, especially over winter break. And so I thought maybe we should get like Chi Alpha library cards, you know? That might be kind of fun. I can't promise that. But in the meantime, you can just check it out. It's totally free unless you destroy the book, and then you do have to pay for it. But it's pretty cheap on Amazon. So pretty cool. All right. So let's jump in. So there's 3 things when I was praying. Am I ringing? I mean, okay. It might be my ears. You know, sometimes you have those like phantom rings, you know. That might be going on that day. I'm going deaf. So I was praying, and I felt like God wanted us to go through 3 things tonight. I felt like God wanted to expose his plan for all nations, okay? I felt like he also wanted to expose us to the opportunity to reach all nations, specifically here, but also give us a chance to respond to his heart, to that opportunity. So that's what we're going to go into tonight. Like I said, I have a ton of scriptures, and so if this is your first time, not every time is like furious as this, but we're going to look at a lot of scripture tonight. So let me pray, and then we'll jump in, okay? Jesus, we thank you for even the opportunity to worship you earlier. God, we thank you for Colton's testimony, God, just about how we can engage with you in prayer, God, and just those powerful moments. God, would you have more powerful moments for us now? God, you're not tapped. You're not out of good stuff. You're not out of your power. You're not done tonight. God, so I pray that you would speak to every heart here through your word, through your written word, the word that's supposed to pierce junk from good stuff and wheat from chaff and cold hearts from warm hearts. God, and bone and marrow, God, the living word of God. God, would that be powerful to us tonight? God, would we much more deeper way, God, grasp your heart for all nations? God, would we see how you see our opportunities here? God, would you call us to a courageous, spirit-filled, faith-filled response? In the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Awesome. Okay, so first verse, Genesis 12. So turn to Genesis 12. And the first point we're going to land on tonight is the gospel was cross-cultural from the beginning. I think we have a slide for that. The gospel was cross-cultural from the beginning. I get that? Yep, cool. So Genesis 12, starting in verse 1 through 3. Genesis 12. So the Lord said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And get this, and all peoples, everybody say all peoples.
All peoples.
All peoples on earth will be blessed by you. That's a huge thing. The very beginning of our Bible, God's saying, one man, the gospel will come through him. All nations, all people will be blessed by him. He didn't get to see that, but we get to see that now. Okay, so hop over to Galatians 3. So that's in the New Testament, all the way to the right. So as you guys are turning there, we see that Paul is confirming and reaffirming in this letter to the church in Galatia, which is modern day Turkey. He affirms the statement that Abraham heard in this letter to the church in Galatia. So Galatians 3, verse 6, and we're going to go through a little bit into 4, okay? So also, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who have faith are children of Abraham. Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you, so that those who rely on faith will be blessed among Abraham, the man of faith. For all who rely on the works of the law are under the curse, as it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. Clearly, no one who relies on the law is justified before God, but the righteous will live by faith. The law is not based on faith. On the contrary, it says the person who does these things will live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a pole or hung on a tree. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham, right, in Genesis 12, might come to the Gentiles. Gentiles are us. Everybody that's not a Jew, that's a Gentile. That's just a biblical word for that. So you're a Gentile unless you're from the nation of, unless you're Jewish nationality. Okay, so you're a Gentile. So the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. And if you guys skip down to 26. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. So turn to your friend and tell him, like, hey, brother, or hey, sister, because you guys are children together. Make sure you get the right pronoun, okay? I love that Brother John Mbagu last week. We always call him Brother John. Like, that's a little awkward for me, but that's true, though. We're children under the Father. Literally, like, closer than blood relatives, okay? Okay, now I can stop. All right, verse 26. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. This is good, meaty stuff. And then skip down to chapter 4, verse 4. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship, or daughterhood, or however that would work. Because of his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, and the Spirit calls out, or other translations say, the Spirit cries out, Abba, Father. So you and I are no longer a slave, but are God's child. And since you are his child, he has also made you his heir. Heir, that whole word could be, like, we could talk about that a whole lot more, but heir to his kingdom, heir to his promise, heir to so much more. But the thing that we're hitting on here is we are all children under the promise of Abraham through Jesus. The gospel came through Abraham to the Jews, but it also came to the Gentiles also. So what's our big thing? The gospel was cross-cultural from the very beginning. This is not like a, oh, good job, Chi Alpha. You guys are like interdenominational, international stuff. Like, no, that's the gospel. God's heart from the very beginning was that every nation would know His Son, Jesus. And we're just jumping on that train. We're like, absolutely. If God's cross-cultural and His gospel, we got to be that too. So all the way to the right, okay, turn all the way to Revelation. I'm going through a lot of scriptures on it. So Revelation 7. Revelation 7, verse 9 and 10. This is a familiar verse for a lot of you guys probably. It says, "After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.' Every nation, every tribe, people, and language worshiping Jesus together." That is an amazing sight. That's an amazing thing to dream of, but that's God's heart from the very beginning. So we see the first book is about the whole world, and all the way to the last book is about the whole world. And then skip even farther. This is the very end of your Bible. Revelation 22. John is explaining at the end of the world, that's his whole Revelation book, how people from all ethnos will worship Jesus. And at the very end, Revelation 22, verse 17, it says, "The Spirit and the Bride," this is so cool, it's like a welcoming call to all nations. "The Spirit and the Bride say, 'Come.' And let the one who hears say, 'Come.' Let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes to take the free gift of the water of life." He's beckoning to all nations to come partake in what Jesus has offered. Verse 20, "He who testifies to these things says, 'Yes, I am coming.' Amen. Come, Lord Jesus." And at the very end, I think there's the last verse in your Bible, "The grace of the Lord Jesus be with" what? That's not just Jews. That's all of God's people. "The grace of the Lord Jesus be with" God's people. All those tribes, all those nations, all those languages. That's awesome. From the very beginning, it's been God's heart that His gospel would get the whole world, that every smallest people group, no matter how small, would experience the salvation and the power and the kingdom of God. Okay, so go all the way left again. Exodus 23. Actually, don't turn there. Go to Leviticus. And on your way to Leviticus, I'll read you another verse, okay? So Exodus 23. This is really cool. I just found this today. So God is giving the Israelites all these like rules about how to live for their benefit, for their blessing, all this kind of stuff. And so He's talking about the Sabbath. So like how to do the Sabbath right, okay? So He's telling the Israelites like, hey, don't work a lot on the Sabbath. Don't mow your lawn. And He didn't say that, you know, but all these like really specific things, but they're good. They're for their health. And so, but He sneaks in this really interesting thing. And He says, basically, honor the Sabbath, rest, honor God. But if there's anybody in your household that's not of your family, make sure that they do it too. And then He also goes on to say, any foreigner among you, make sure that they partake in the Sabbath too. And that's not just a rule of like, make sure you lead your household well, right? He's not saying make sure like by religiously everybody stops doing it. He's saying partake in the blessing that is the Sabbath rest. Enjoy me with the foreigners among you. So that's like a multifaceted thing because we see God's heart to truly bless not just the people of Israel, but foreigners among them, right? So he's acknowledging, even if the Israelites were like, oh, I didn't even know there was anybody but Israelites here. Like he's like, no, there are some, and make sure that they get blessed too. But on top of that, he's encouraging the hospitality of the Israelites as well. He's saying, hey, here's a very practical way that you can love the foreigners among you, that they would be a part of your lives, that they would embrace God, that they would worship God with you. It's not like a force like you're duping them. It's just like that they're enjoying Jesus and they're enjoying the Savior and salvation just with you as well. So he's talking about, and the, sorry, another thing on top of that is it's just a great assumption that there would be foreigners among you. So it's like basically challenging us not to just be amongst ourselves. So he's not don't just be Americans and then enjoy the Sabbath, but also bring other cultures in with you. Experience God with other cultures. So here's a total side note, okay? So I truly believe when you look at the body of Christ, it cannot just be made up of Americans. Okay? When it says every tribe, nation, people, tongue, I don't think the primary language in heaven is English. Right? I need to learn English and another language, right? Because I'm gonna be outnumbered here. But when I get to encounter and I get to have friends of other cultures, I love it because I'm starting to see God's image in them. When I have friends from the Middle East, I see how much they truly value friendship and community. And when I see friends from other countries or Africa, I'm just seeing them and how much they're enjoying God. Like, Brother John Mbagu exudes joy. Like, I just need to, like, rub up against him and, like, will you just, like, give me some of that joy because I'm just too sterile. I'm just too, like, he's just, like, he could get so excited about anything. Like, okay, I'll just brag on him a little bit. So we tried to give him this fruit basket, right? He's so giving, he wouldn't even take the fruit basket. He's just, like, trying to give this to other students. We're like, John, it's your gift. Please take the fruit. Like, it's your fruit. Like, I'm not going to eat your orange. You know, like, but his heart is so full of joy. It's so full of people. It's so full of giving. I need that. We, as Americans, please hear me on this. We need all the other believers in the world to help us fully see who God is. It's not just a like anti-American. I love that Pastor Jim Palmer last week said that 95% of the Assemblies of God movement is actually outside of the United States. I didn't even know that. That's amazing. I'm thinking like, I need to start learning other languages and learning other cultures because I need to get with it. But I love that because you're starting to see God's heart for the entire world. I am so blessed when I get to have a friendship with somebody that's not from the States. It is like food to my soul, and it challenges me, and it equips me, and it helps me see who God is even better. It's just awesome. And that's not my idea. That's just what God planned from the beginning. I'm just like, oh, yeah, you're right, God. That was probably right in the first place, right? Okay. Where did I tell you to go? Leviticus. Okay, you guys are doing great. So Leviticus 19, verse 30. So this isn't like a list of like really important things. Like observe the Sabbath. Don't turn to mediums and seek out spiritists and basically don't partake in witchcraft. Okay, so this is on that level. Okay, but this is chapter 19, verse 30. Okay, so he's given a big list here. And this is an awesome verse. Verse 33, when a foreigner resides among you in your land, do not mistreat them. But then he goes further. He says, the foreigner residing among you must be treated as what? Native born. Somebody that was born in your same hometown. Are you guys with me on this? Love them as yourself. You were foreigners in Egypt. He's talking to the Israelites. He's saying, you guys were foreigners. You guys didn't have a home country. So how could our heart turn against foreigners, right? In that sense. And at the very end, he says, love them as yourself, for you were foreigners in Egypt. I am the Lord your God. He's saying, pay attention. Love people around you. Don't ignore, because it's God's heart for all of the world. Okay, turn to Matthew real quick. Okay, I know we're blowing through a lot. Matthew 22, verse 37. Have I seen this verse before? Yeah? Jesus replied, Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. So back then, who was their neighbor? It wasn't just Jews, right? The Romans. Love your oppressive overlords like yourself. Love people that you are generally racist to, like the Samaritans. It's not just saying love your neighbor that looks like you and acts like you and has the same religion like you. This is talking to a multicultural environment. This is just like it's talking to the campus. Love your neighbor. I bet you most of you guys here probably live like 2 to 3 doors from another nationality. Especially if you live in like Meadow Run, you don't even have to go 1 door. It's like they're, you know, they may be living in your, you know, apartment, or they're right next door, or Forest Lane. He's literally saying, love your neighbor, spend time with them like you would want time spent with you. Invest in them like you would want to be invested into. Care about their life, their well-being, their livelihood like you would want to be cared for. This greatest commandment is a multicultural commandment. It's cross cultures because it's the very heart of God. Matthew 28, so skip ahead a few chapters. Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. The Great Commission. You guys heard this before? A little familiar maybe, right? Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of Americans. No, right? Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all, everything that I've commanded you, and surely I am with you to the very end of the age. Guys, this is huge for us. Chi Alpha, if you haven't figured out, Chi Alpha is huge about disciple making. Okay? If you're a circuit leader, your number one job is to make disciple makers. Okay? It's not to just lead a Bible study. That's part of it. But your job, your role as a circuit leader is to invest into people, to love people, to love them so much that they love Jesus, right? And that they become disciples of Jesus and that they're making disciples. But we can't just stop at the American version of it, or even what we look like or our nationality, right? In the very Great Commission, disciples of all nations. And for me, that's challenging. I'm okay to like love other nations. That's like a little bit easier for me. But to take it to the degree of like disciple other nations, that's harder because that takes more time, right? That takes more investment. I have to understand them to the level that I would mentor or invest into an American student. That's like another level, but that's God's heart. And we talk about this all the time, right? God's heart is a cross-cultural heart. It's for all nations. It's been that way from the very beginning. Okay, go ahead and turn to Isaiah 56. And I won't have it turn into the other Matthew. So Matthew 21, 13 says, it is written, and this is when Jesus is flipping tables. You guys know this story about Jesus flipping tables? Anybody love this story? It's like Jesus, thank you, I can flip tables too in your name. Physics lab or whatever, right? You know, so never mind. I tried that, didn't work, failed, and then had to repent. So I didn't really try it. Sorry, that was a lie. Okay, so Matthew 21, it is written. So he's like basically chastising what's going on. He says, my house shall be called a house of what? Prayer. House of prayer, right? But that verse is referencing the verse in Isaiah, okay? And I was going to spend a little bit more time on this, but I'm going to read it just to be quicker. This is an incredibly powerful verse for us. Isaiah 56, starting in verse 1. He says, maintain justice and do what is right, for salvation is close at hand. And my righteousness will soon be revealed. Blessed is the one who does this, the person who holds fast, who keeps the Sabbath without desecrating it, and keeps their hands from doing evil. Let no foreigner who is bound to the Lord say, the Lord will surely exclude me from his people. Let no eunuch complain, I am but a dry tree. For this is what the Lord says to the eunuchs. And if you guys don't know, eunuchs were religiously castrated males. They often served in really high positions, okay, in their culture, but they were excluded from Old Testament worship. So they could not embrace God. They could not respond to the gospel, okay? But he's saying, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbath, who choose what pleases me, and hold fast to my covenant, to them I will give within the temple and its walls a memorial and a name better than the sons and the daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that will endure forever. And the foreigners who bind themselves to the Lord to minister to them, to love the name of the Lord and to be his servants, to all who keep the Sabbath without desecrating it, to all who hold fast to my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain to give them the joy in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. For my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. And I will gather others. And the sovereign Lord declares, he who gathers the exiles of Israel, I will gather still others to them, and besides those already gathered. So when Jesus is flipping tables, literally, he's saying, my house will be a house of prayer for all nations, for all ethnos. It should not be denied of anybody. The gospel cannot be denied to anybody. Okay. You guys got a couple more verses in you?
Yeah.
Okay. Acts 8. My heart, or my hope, is to totally overwhelm us with God's heart for the nations. This is not like a couple cute verses. Then this is like, I couldn't take out some of these verses because it's just so much. And God is just doing a work on my heart where I'm reading scripture. I'm like, oh my goodness, it's in there too. It's in there too. It's in the Great Commission. It's in the Greatest Commandment. Just this week I saw it in the Greatest Commandment, that neighbors was beyond just, oh, my physical neighbors, you know, and just my nationality. Okay, so Acts 8, verse 26. So this is Philip. This is the beginning of, or the early stages of the church, okay? Verse 26, now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian. And I don't know about you guys, but I got really excited when I read this. I'm like, Ethiopia, I know where that country is. Right? Because all the other nations I read, I have no clue. And they're not even existing anymore. So it's even harder. And I'm reading 1 Kings, and it's like, I don't even know how to spell that, right? Or Kush? What is that, right? So I just got really excited. But my hopes were dashed just slightly when I looked this up. So he met an Ethiopian, but get this, this Ethiopian is not modern-day Ethiopia, okay? But it actually was Old Testament Kush or whatever, southern Egypt / northern Sudan. That's where this guy was from, okay? So he's a Sudanese, God-fearing individual, okay? He's also a eunuch, and we talked about this. He's an important official in the charge of the treasury of Kandak or Kandaki, which means the queen of the Ethiopians. So he's got a legit job. He handles the monies for the queen of Ethiopia. Okay? He's set. Okay? I think he can pretty much eat whatever he wants. Okay? So this man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home, he was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit, this is cool, the Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. I don't know what that looked like. I don't know if he was kind of like just kind of creeping a little bit, you know, or like maybe like hopefully he didn't like jump in front of the chariot, you know, like, oh, you hit me, now we should talk, you know, that kind of stuff. He says, go up to and stay near it. Then Philip ran to the chariot. He's very obedient, okay, and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet, and he calls him. He says, do you understand what you're reading? In verse 31, I love the honesty. How can I? He said, unless someone explains it to me. And Philip just so happened to be there, led by the Spirit, right? So he invited Philip to come up with him and sit him And basically he explains it. And get this, guys. This is like the divine appointments of divine appointments, okay? God tells Philip to go this way. This guy's, this Ethiopian dude, you know, chilling. He's reading his book of Isaiah this way. And Philip throws himself in front of the chariot, maybe, right? And then it's like, it's told like, and literally it's laid out there for Philip. The guy's basically like, hey, I'm reading this book about a really important guy. Do you know about him at all? And Philip's like, well, let me tell you a story, right? This is like, this stuff happens today on this campus, on Sinclair, on UD. It's available for us today. This was just the one that was written down. This is a complete divine appointment, literally totally set up for a gospel presentation. Okay, this wasn't tough. This wasn't, Philip would have had to try to mess this thing up. Okay, it's just so perfect. So he talks about, you know, the sheep and slaughter and all this other stuff. This is super easy, so we won't go into all that. But what I'm getting at, and what we got a couple more verses, and then we're going to land. The gospel was cross-cultural from the beginning. It never stopped being cross-cultural. So let's not let it stop with us either, okay? The next point I want to bring is that we are the recipient of God's cross-cultural heart. And I'm just going to look up one verse. If you guys want to turn with me, you can, to Ephesians 3. And this is just a quick point. We are the recipient of God's cross-cultural heart. Because I'm not sure if you guys were aware, but Christianity wasn't founded in the United States, right? Founded in the Middle East, right? Jesus was a Middle Eastern man, right? And we have a friend, right, that likes to brag about the fact that he doesn't look like a Caucasian, but he looks like a Middle Eastern man because he was a Middle Eastern man. And all we can say is, you're totally right. You know, what's his first say?
Like it or, Jesus is from the Middle East, like it or no.
So like it or no, that's how he says it. Like it or no, Jesus was from the Middle East. It's not like it or not, like it or no. So it's worse than not. It's just no. You got to get over it, you know. So Eastern religion, you know. So if anybody like gets wary about Eastern religions, you're like, hey, I'm in an Eastern religion. You know, I follow Jesus, right? Amen. That's not really an English word, right? So, or maybe it is. Anyway, moving on. So Ephesians 3, digging holes. Ephesians 3, in reading this, this is verse 4 and 6. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight, this is Paul talking, to the mystery of Christ. What's the mystery of Christ? Well, Paul goes into it. Which was not made known to people in other generations, as it has now been revealed to the Spirit, by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and his prophets. Verse 6, the mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are now heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together of the promise of Christ Jesus. So you and I'm so thankful that God's heart was for all nations. Because if it wasn't, I would not know Jesus. We would not know how to celebrate Jesus. We would not even be allowed to go into God's presence if it wasn't for God's heart for all nations. So I am so thankful that God's way smarter than I am, way bigger, and has a much bigger heart for the whole world, so that I can partake in the salvation of Jesus and the presence of God and the continual renewing of God and his Spirit and all the things that come beyond salvation. Okay, so we are the recipient of God's cross-cultural heart. I hope we never lose sight of that. The gospel was not conceived in English. It was conceived in the very heart of God. We were not even allowed in, but through Jesus, we're in. We're in, guys. Hey, we're in the club, okay? We're in the club. That was really hard, so I don't want to hurt you guys. I'm just excited. Okay, just slap a hand or something, okay? You're in the club.
Yeah!
Okay, last few things. Yeah, wait. So, I think, where are you guys at now? Ephesians?
Yeah.
Okay. You're in the club. Yeah, I love it. I love it. Okay, those of you who are in the club, go ahead and go to Acts. Acts 10. So my point here is a single cultural gospel is not the real gospel. A gospel that only applies to one culture, one nationality, the gospel that only looks like one skin color is not the full, is not the real gospel. Acts 10, verse 34 through 48. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is. I feel like I'm like coming to this realization with Peter in this moment. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. You know the message God sent to his people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord over all. You know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee, and the baptism that John preached. He's given us the gospel right here. And how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with them. We are witnesses to everything he did in that country and the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all people, but by the witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him. That's a big deal. He's saying the whole book, all of the Bible testifies about Jesus. That everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness through sins through his name. While Peter was still speaking this is the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came on all those who heard the message, a multicultural audience. The circumcised, or the Jews, Jewish believers who had come with Peter, were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even into the Gentiles, even into the non-Jews. When all of history, the gospel was not for Gentiles, but somehow it is now. For they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, this is great, surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water, right, committing to Jesus. They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have. So they ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus, and they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. A single culture gospel is not the full gospel. A single culture discipleship is not true discipleship. Prayers, maybe even only in one language, are not the full opportunity that we get to pray. When we picture people getting saved, if we're only picturing people that look like us, that's not the full picture of God's heart. This is awesome. You know what else is great about this? This blows across like what's on the news right now. The tension, the craziness, the difficulty, the hurt, the pain, the legitimate concerns. We're looking at God's gospel and saying, hey, I'm your brother. Hey, you're my sister. I can't look less of you. I can't act like I'm higher than you. You don't deserve less than me. Not because of what I've done, not because of where I've been born, not because of how I talk, but because of who God is and what he's done. Guys, people need to know this. We need it deeper in our hearts, but we have friends that need to know this. And that's why God's heart is so beating so heavily that the whole world would know the gospel. That's why the Assemblies of God is so big into missions, because it's not just about the U.S. or California or Ohio knowing Jesus. It's about the whole world. I met a missionary this last week. His job, his role in the Assemblies of God was to raise up missionaries that were not Western. You guys get that? To raise up missionaries that were not from the United States and not from Europe. That's awesome. And you know how, like, like, so I was talking about his vision and all the, I know I'm going beyond and yeah, whatever. So I'm like, I'm eating this thing up because this is what God's doing in my heart. I'm like, you go, like, because he's like, God gave me this vision years ago that I should be, I should kind of help. And he was super humble, so he was great. That I should start kind of a movement to raise up missionaries from all, like, the other, all over the world to reach the whole world and that kind of stuff. I'm like, and he's been a missionary for a long time. And so I'm trying to be real respectful. I was like, when did you get this vision from God? Like, how, like, what year did this happen in your life? Was this like recent? And I'm like, asking him, like, did you write a book or something? Because I want to read your book. He's like, I didn't write a book. I'm like, no, I need your book. You know, he's like, just go on the website. I'm like, I don't want a website. I want a book. You know, whatever. So I'm asking him, like, when did this happen? Like, when did God give this vision to you? And he's like, he kind of thought about it. I was like, probably like 1985. And I like try to like think of how do I tell him I was born in 85 and not make him feel offended? You know, like I was trying to, but it was so cool because for 31 years, this guy and his wife have been raising up missionaries from all across the world that has nothing to do with the United States to reach the rest of the world. And there's like 8,000 missionaries from what God has spoken to him. 8,000 non-Western missionaries. That's amazing. So when we're talking about the World Mission Summit, guys, it's not just like an event, let's just go and get good Jesus vibes and then leave. Like, can we join in with the global movement that all of the world would experience Jesus? Can we expose our hearts to what God is doing? I love mission work because I'm like, I'll never go to Thailand, but I want to know how you're reaching people from Thailand. I may never go to Africa, but I want to know how God is reaching people. Like, I want to know what happens when somebody from Africa gets filled with the Spirit. I want to know what happens when a bunch of students from Japan get saved and how God redeems that and reconciles them. Like, I want to know that. I want to see God's work. Guys, let's, like, jump into His heart. His heart is bleeding off of the pages of Scripture for all nations. I think we can get a taste of that. I think we can get deeper in that. Okay, last things, and I do need to be done. So last thing, I want to just really quickly just mention the opportunity for God's heart for the nations, because I want to kind of totally, so maybe just close your eyes even, okay? Just, we'll take a moment. I know it's been a lot. We have to stop thinking about mission work just in the context of going on a plane or going on a bus or going on a train to another country, another state, another language. God has literally brought the nations among us. There are just under 4,000 nationalities represented on the three campuses of Wright State, Sinclair, and UD. 4,000. We could go every weekend to another country and not hit 4,000. Just on Wright State, there's just under 2,000. Sorry. 4,000 international students. There's just under 70 countries represented. 70 countries. 70 mission trips we'd have to take just to hit some of those countries. And half of those we probably couldn't even go to. There's a guy by the name of Napoleon, I think it's Duarte. He came to the United States. He went to a little school in South Bend, Indiana called Notre Dame. He literally tried out for the football team, got crushed, literally. But he went on to become, he served two terms as the president of El Salvador. He was in the midst. He was a neighbor. There's another woman by the name of Benazir Bhutto. She was from Pakistan. And when she came to the States, people literally didn't even know where Pakistan was. This is years ago, but they didn't even know where Pakistan was. They said, what's Pakistan? And she explained to them that it's next to India. And they said, oh, we know India, But that riled her up because her country was at bitter wars with India for years. What she gathered was that Americans were completely unaware of the existence of her home country. And this is years ago. But she became, get this, the first woman to lead a Muslim nation in the modern world. And she was in the States, and she was an American university student. Guys, nearly one-third of all students worldwide who study abroad, nearly one-third of all the students who study abroad enroll in U.S. institutions. There is a study done by the American Language and Cultural Program in Arizona. They studied more than 3,000 returning students who are now leaders in their home countries. When these students were asked about the value of the experience in America, nearly all of them, all of the respondents said it is not their academic experience that they remember. Instead, it's the most valuable experience to them was their time with Americans and the opportunity to experience life in America. When students are going back to their home country, that's what they value. And I'm not saying across the board, but that's what they gathered. The vast majority of the students that they surveyed said it's meeting American students, it's experiencing life in America. Go ahead. So as we're closing tonight, I want us to understand, I feel like we need to understand that our opportunity to reach the world here is literally mind-blowing. It's unlike any other opportunity, and it's also free. You don't have to raise funds. You don't have to take off of work to go to another country. And I'm not devaluing the work of going overseas at all. I'm just saying God's heart is for the whole world to know Jesus, and we have the world in our midst too. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, he becomes like a Jew to win the Jews. He becomes like a Greek to win the Greeks. He becomes weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all people so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel that I may share in its blessings. Friends, it's not God's heart if we look at these scriptures and say, I don't have time for that. That's just not God's heart. God's love and his abundant love in us overflows so much that the question is, how do I fit this in my schedule? It's, God, what do I do? What do I do? When I was preparing for this tonight, I really felt like it's not a yes, I get this, or no, I don't get this. The goal of tonight is not to help us understand, okay, God's heart is for all the world. Check. Right? I think most of us are there. But the question is, how deeply does this penetrate my heart? How deeply does this penetrate your heart? So personally, I've been recently really challenged to love my friends that are international in a much more meaningful way. I have a real bad tendency to get a lot of international students' info and then really become distracted by a lot of other things and just really forget about them because they study so much and they invest so much time. And then I meet a lot more Americans because that's who just is in front of me. But God has been challenging me to invest and to care and to love to the ones that he's already put into my life, to not get like 20 acquaintances, but to invest in those few close friends that he's already put in my path. God's been wrecking me over this. And I can tell that because I can't stop thinking about it. And I'm reading these scriptures that I've read multiple times, and I'm seeing God's heart for the nations in them. And those scriptures have always been there. Those words haven't changed. It's just my heart that is changing now. God's changing my heart, and he's showing me how United States of America centric I am, and how I see the world and the gospel through that, and I don't want to anymore. Can I tell you something funny? So Heather and I, Heather doesn't even know this, but we were watching a movie on Netflix last week, okay? And it was like wrecking me. You know what the movie was? It was E.T. Yeah, you can laugh. Like, I'm watching Extraterrestrial, right? The like cheesiest alien I've ever seen. And it, you know, it's like really hokey and it's 80s and there's all these like, it's classic 80s. And like literally, like my heart is like looking at that and I'm like, this is so funny. Like stupid funny, but it, I know it's just God's just doing something in my heart. Like I'm just looking at all the things that he went through, like the misunderstanding, the hate, the questions, the offense, the celebration, unity, ultimately like, and I'm like, I was like, as they're, this is, I think I've only seen this movie once, but like, they're riding the bikes like off into the moonset or whatever it is, right? It's not a sunset, it's like the moon, right? It's this classic scene, and it's like, the only way that they did that was because of E.T., right? And I'm just thinking like, oh, that's like the body of Christ. I'm just like, that's like in my heart, I'm just like, that's it. Like, I know it's like, I get it, it's super cheesy, and it's super like, yeah, I would never like compare my international friends to E.T. And I don't, please don't, right? But in my heart, I can't stop seeing it. It's because that's God's heart. And I'm just trying, and I'm not trying to get emotional so that you'll respond emotionally. What God's just doing in my heart, he's just saying like, okay, you're here, but let's go here. You know, you love people, but love them this way. You know? And I was thinking about, okay, I have some leftover birthday money. What should I do with it? I was like, oh, I want to get one of those slack lines because that looks really cool and I'll probably hurt myself, but it'd be a funny story if I get a slack line, right? And then I'm thinking like, no, I'm playing ping pong like I'm horrible, like with these Chinese students, and they're just crushing me. And I'm like, I want a decent paddle so I can like make some better Chinese friends. Like, because they're all good and they're better at me, but like I want that. Like, I want their friendship, you know? The heart of God is not to get it or don't get it. It's how deep have you let him into your life? How much does God have lordship in this area for all nations, specifically the people, the nations among you? And hopefully this does not come across as a guilt thing. I know this may seem heavy, but really, it's serious. But it's a joy. It's hopeful. It's like, I was thinking, what if, as a body of Dayton Chi Alpha, we committed to make disciples of all nations together? Like, what if we walked out of here tonight and be like, hey, we're making disciples of all nations together. So when you have an international friend, I'm going to do my best to love them and care for them. And hey, I found this book, or I found this thing that you should check it out, or you should do, or yeah, they, you know, he may like, or she may like ping pong, and you should try that. Or here's my paddle that for my birthday. Like, we're just helping each other reach the nations, but not just on a surface level, but disciple nations, right? Because that's God's heart. So, Kristen, if you would pass out. I was trying to think of the best way to really commit to this, but just like we did last week, we did like the missions giving and the pledges. We made up just these things to respond to, and it's exactly the same on both sides, and so you can half it so you can rip the middle down and you can keep one and then turn one into the offering basket. Basically, the whole question is, what is God moving you and calling you to do? And so there's a couple options on here. I feel God leading me to this, maybe make an international friend, get involved in international ministry, host international friend over the holidays, be a language partner, involve my international friends in my circuit, or something other. And I bet you there's a lot of something others. And we were praying before service, and I felt like God wanted to do this to a few people in here tonight, where he wanted to change you from total unawareness, not in a bad way, like you, maybe you just weren't aware of the opportunity that God has placed in front of you, to total like, I'm a gung-ho advocate for reaching internationals here, there, everywhere, and it's like you're like the leader of the pack and you're like going for it and you're just finding reasons and it just becomes natural to you. It's not effort. It's like a blessing and anointing. So I think that God wants to anoint some of you here tonight to be a champion for God's heart for all nations. And I don't know who that is, but if that's you or if you have anything else that God is leading you to do, I just want to invite you guys in a moment just to drop that off in the basket. And it's not for a response. It's because as a body, we want to help each other walk this out. As your pastor, and Heather and I, as your pastors, I would love to know if God is calling you to reach African students so I could join with you to do that. And I could encourage you in that. That's what this is for. It's just to share what God is doing and leading you to do, and that we can encourage each other in that. And so it would be a good thing to share with your circuit leader. It would be a good thing to share with people that in your discipleship groups, things like that. And so that's what that's for. So let's do this as we close. Can I have everybody stand? Or you can stand after you're done writing it down. So we'll give you guys a minute. And can I have, is Heather available at all? Fred? Josh, would you mind coming down? So I asked Josh to pray for anybody who would want prayer just to seal this or anything like that. And I asked my wife too as well. And if there's a need, Kristen and Nicole can come down as well. And I'd love to pray with you guys as well. So what we're going to do is you can just drop that off and kind of commit that to God. And if you would want prayer to seal this or just to affirm it or any other way, Josh would love to pray with you. I'd love to pray with you. My wife would love to pray with you. And after you do that, then you can be dismissed and go out, get some popcorn and chill for a little bit. And then we're going to do the after party. So sound good? Let me pray and I'll give you guys a moment to do that. Father God, man, I thank you that you're our dad. Thanks, Dad, for loving us, for bringing the gospel out of the Jews and into us Gentiles. Thank you that you invite us into the ministry of reaching all nations all over the world, but also here. God, would you speak specifically to us? Confirm it, affirm it. Give us the courage to say yes to it. God, and as a body of believers, let us help each other and encourage each other and build each other up and disciple the nations closer to Jesus. We honor you. We love you. We give you praise and attention. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. So if you guys want to go ahead and take a moment, you can drop off your card in the offering basket. If you guys want prayer, please don't hesitate. We'd love to pray for you. We'll just be here for a few minutes. And if you want to, after that, you guys are welcome to go get popcorn and hang out out back. And we'll just leave this front space a little bit open for prayer. Thanks so much.